course, we have Ron Nearing, California GOP chairman. He served on the California Board of Forestry and Fire Protection, graduate of State University of New York, and referred to by Wilson Strategies as one of the leading thinkers among Republican state chairs. Mr. Nearing, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, tell me this. How did California get into such a mess financially?
Well, that's not an easy question.
I know to
answer. It's really the result of political pressures exerted over the course of an extended period of time, where you have the dominant political forces in the state, consisting of left-wing labor unions, environmental groups, basically all the groups on the left that are most interested in having government grow. Have really dominated the state legislature over time. And so what you have here in the state is a tax and regulatory structure which is encouraging businesses and employers to leave the state and move elsewhere. I was just last night speaking with the governor of another state who makes regular trips into California to lure the state's employers out and bring them to his state. And he indicated to me that with the meetings he was having just before the election, that many of them were indicating that they're going to hold tight, they're going to see what happens in the governor's race here before making a decision about whether to move out of the state. And I know that a lot of those companies, given that Jerry Brown won the election, are going to be moving elsewhere, and that's unfortunate.
No doubt about that. And I've spent a good bit of time in California. I love San Diego. I love to surf. I've been to spend a good bit of time in Los Angeles, the Bay Area, absolutely beautiful there as well. But I guess that's just not enough to lure businesses there. You have to have a favorable business climate as well.
Well, certainly the climate here, you know, in terms of the weather, that type of climate, it really is a powerful magnet because you really have, you know, ideal weather, particularly in Southern California, where I live here in San Diego. That really draws a lot of companies. A lot of people just want to live here. The problem is that it's becoming so increasingly difficult to set up shop here, to manage the state's tax and regulatory structure. And then also the companies here wind up having to pay more in salaries because we have such a high income tax in California, as opposed to, you know, if that same company operates out of Texas, they don't have to pay their employees as much in order for their workers to have the same net income. And it's also, of course, you know, easier to build a home or build a facility in states like Texas than it is in California.
And no question, it's no secret that BMW, for example, put a plant in South Carolina, not in Michigan or in California. And they say it's because of the union cost and the taxation and so forth. Tell me this, Meg Whitman, arguably, I would say, a fabulous candidate. And if I was in California, I would have voted for her. Tell me why it went the other way, do you think? Why would people vote for more of this?
Well, I think you have a couple of different factors which contributed to the outcome of that election. You know, one of them is that, you know, Meg had to spend a lot of money in order to build a political infrastructure and get her name out, as opposed to Jerry Brown, who's been, you know, campaigning over the course of 20 years. But in the course of doing that, her spending and she herself personally became a major issue within the campaign itself. And one of the rules in politics is that when the candidate becomes the issue, the candidate tends to lose. And so Meg became the issue simply because of because of that spending. That was a major part of it. One of the other elements here is that our party has to do better in our urban and immigrant communities, which are overwhelmingly Democratic. The Democrats are there in the room. They have those better relationships than we do. We have to do a better job at that. One other thing that's noteworthy, though, is that we wasted about a quarter of this election cycle fighting over a tax increase, which was passed in mid-2009, just as this Tea Party, this wonderful Tea Party movement, was getting started across the country. We had a tax increase in California, which was signed by Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and passed the legislature with a handful of Republican votes. That sent the wrong signal out to people. It confuses people as to whether Republicans really are the party that opposes tax increases. The Republican Party opposed the tax increase. The overwhelming majority of our legislators opposed it. But when just a handful of Republicans, you know, go along with it, it damages the brand. It damages the the party itself. So that unfortunately was a missed opportunity. It got this election cycle off to the wrong start. My advice for Republicans going forward is that Republican elected officials have to govern like Republicans. Don't get captured by the special interests in the state capitol or in Washington, D.C. Stick to your principles, lower taxes, smaller government, more opportunity, and pro-entrepreneurship policies.
Stick to the basics. What a great idea. You mentioned the Tea Party a moment ago. What kind of effect, and you did mention that Arnold Schwarzenegger did sign that tax increase, but what positive effect did the Tea Party have, as you see it, in the state of California?
I think your Tea Party activists are overwhelmingly Americans who've been drawn to politics for the first time. They're concerned about the future of the country. They've certainly brought a great amount of intensity to both the campaign and Election Day itself. People who identified with the Tea Party and its objectives turned out in larger numbers. They helped to walk precincts, register voters, helped to get the Republican vote out, really provided the Republican Party with a tremendous shot in the arm. So very, very positive. And you know that they're having such a positive impact because the folks on the far left attack them so much. So that's a pretty good indicator that they're having a positive effect.
And no question about that.
Chairman Nearing, this is Steve Rodriguez. Tell me a little bit about the few Republicans that went along with Governor Schwarzenegger. Being the chairperson of the party, you are the establishment. Will those Republicans get primaried next time around?
Well, you know, it's funny to be called an establishment. You know, I've been a conservative activist for 20 years and worked for anti-tax groups like Americans for Tax Reform and so on. And I think it's very, very clear that Republicans should not go along with tax increases ever because it's bad policy, particularly when the economy is not doing well. In terms of those individuals who voted for that tax increase, two of them were statewide Republican nominees, Abel Maldonado, our lieutenant governor, and Mike Valines, who became our insurance commissioner candidate. Unfortunately, you know, both of them lost, but there's a lesson to be learned here because in both cases, their Democrat opponents ran ads on talk radio attacking them for having voted to raise taxes. So it's unfortunate because their own futures were hurt, but then in the process it damages the brand. It sends a mixed signal about everyone else who wears that Republican jersey. So I'll tell you, it does not go over well within the Republican Party if you support tax increases, and it's bad policy.
You know what? Sadly, rightfully so, right?
Well, part of the danger and part of the reason why I think term limits are important is that the longer you spend in the state capitol or in Washington, D.C. or wherever, history shows that the longer a Republican is in government, the more likely they are to vote for higher taxes and more spending. Democrats, studies show, they go to Washington, the state capitol, and they're big spenders right away. For Republicans, they start conservative, and then the longer they're there, you know, the gravitational pull to spend more and tax more has its impact, and people go, you know, wind up going native. That's where that term, you know, comes from. In that
interesting
applied there. Yep.
You know, when I think of California, I think of the weather that I just mentioned and the scenery, and I think of Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan, to me, obviously, is a champion, one of my favorite presidents, champion for capitalism. And now there's kind of a fiscal mess there. Do you think that bankruptcy is inevitable?
Well, I think that if you define bankruptcy as a condition where where you really have to go through a complete reorganization in order to get your financial house in order, California is definitely there. Even if you don't count the year-to-year budget deficits of, you know, $20 billion, you've got this gigantic unfunded pension liability, which really goes to show that you should not trust politicians with your pension, even if you're a government worker. Defined contribution pension plans make much more sense than defined benefit pension plans for many reasons, but one of them is that what the government will do when they're managing one of these defined benefit plans is they paint these overly rosy scenarios as to what the future returns on their investments are going to be, and they use that to justify more benefits now. But once those greater benefits are granted, you're contractually locked into them for the future,
right?
And then, of course, those rosy returns never wind up, you know, coming through. But you have to ask, why are rational people making such scenario, such projections, which everyone knows are unrealistic? And it's because of the gravitational pull of politics, to do so. That's why don't trust your pension is too important to be left to the government.
We're talking today to Ron Nearing, California GOP chairman. And I one last question for you. We're coming up on a hard break here, but one last question. Dick Morris, I saw him on one of the news channels the other day. It was Fox. And he said that states like California, for example, should use this financial state, this bankruptcy, to break the union contracts. What do you think about that?
Well, certainly those union contracts should be renegotiated, certainly not only the ones with the state, but also even down at your school district level. You want to know what's one of the biggest impediments to progress in the local school level? It's those local collective bargaining agreements. The challenge, if you were to go through some type of bankruptcy reorganization, is that the left will no doubt use it to try to raise taxes, to say that the reason why you have a financial crisis is that tax rates are artificially low, they protect the quote, wealthy, and so on and so forth. So there is no quick, easy fix for this. But I am very encouraged by the fact that so many more people are now conscious of this gigantic pension problem that government has created for itself. And finally, there's some back pressure to get politicians to do the right thing. And you got to rein those pension plans in, move new hires to a defined contribution pension program, so that government doesn't have that massive unfunded liability. That is what is that's the single biggest financial threat facing states today.
We're talking today to Ron Nearing, California GOP chairman. Mr. Nearing, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir.
You're a great American.
Thank you.
All right. We are...